Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host for the next hour. My name is Don Nikoloff, as you heard in the introductory music, and I'm happy to have everyone listening in tonight. I want to give some special thanks. It came to my attention from a couple of listeners that Dr. Ren Horowitz was kind of plugging my show, promoting what we do on Evident Footprints, and I want to especially thank him for the extra ads that he's been putting out. Reverend Roxy Hampton, I had the pleasure of being on her show a week ago Sunday, where we talked about this missile shooting the satellite in space, and if we believe that happened the way they said it was going to happen, then we have some pretty fantastic missiles, I must say. Anyway, I appreciate both of them plugging the show, and keep on doing it, folks. No, I'm just kidding. It's appreciated. It's always appreciated. And those of you who enjoy listening to the show, you can do your part and tell your friends and your family, and even your enemies, because you might make friends with your enemies when they hear some of the topics that we have. We're going to switch gears a little bit tonight, and we're going to talk about something that really is close to me and dear to me, but because of all the shenanigans going on in Washington and around the world, we don't get a lot of opportunities to discuss what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about the paranormal. Now, what is the paranormal? Many of the listeners to BBS radio shows know that it has to do with spirit, it has to do with the unseen, it has to do with the higher gifts, telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, even healing. Some people call it miracle healing, telekinesis, psychometry, and all types of manifestations. Now, the word paranormal, to a lot of people, has one of these superstitious connotations to it, much like the word occult. The word occult merely means hidden, and of course, there are people that practice the light side or the good side, and there are people that practice the dark side, or what we know as the bad or the evil side. These are necessary dichotomies. They are available to our choices, and the choices that we make have consequences. Those are paranormal laws. Those are universal laws. And one point I'd like to make about the paranormal is that paranormal abilities or gifts or activities generally go far beyond the scope of mainstream scientific understanding. And the way scientists tend to deal with the paranormal is to attempt to debunk it. They do that sometimes as part of the agenda for government. They discount it totally as being unreliable or fictitious or imaginary or any term that they want to dream up. They like the word conspiracy theory and politics when you expose the truth there. And it's very similar in the scientific community. There are some scientists that know about the paranormal and acknowledge it. Now, there are many gifts within the understanding of the paranormal, and we study the paranormal, those of us who are interested in it, to gain wisdom. The point of meditation, for example, is to know your higher self, and you do that by going within. You discipline yourself, you discipline your thinking, you stop the erratic thoughts that enter your mind, and you learn to disassociate from the ego self that the world would have you focus on. And it's through the method of meditation, or even prayer for a lot of people, that you can rise above that or escape that matrix that's been created for you, that you so willingly and often or always allow to manipulate you subconsciously or unconsciously. So the paranormal is definitely a path to consciousness. It's a path to super consciousness. It's a path to wisdom and knowledge and light and love and all the good things. Now, if you're using it for nefarious purposes, you are going to pay a price. That's what the law of karma states. It's the law of attraction as well. And with that, keep those thoughts in mind as we talk about the paranormal this evening. I'm bringing back a guest I had on about a month ago. This gentleman is a good friend, a very, very serious individual, one who looks toward the betterment of mankind. He's the founder of Paranormal Research Forum, and his name is Rick Nelson. Rick, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Well, good evening, Don, and to your listeners, and actually, I guess it's good morning on the East Coast.
Okay, if I may ask Seth to increase your volume, because I'm not hearing you. I hear you talking, but I can't really make out too well what you're saying.
Okay. I'll try and speak a little louder here
also.
Stay close
to the phone, too.
Okay, is that okay, any better
I think
now?
You said good evening.
Yes, I was just wishing you... Go ahead, Don.
Okay. The last time you were on the show, we really talked about you and kind of your interests in the paranormal, and I know that you had some things that you wanted to talk about tonight to share some of the things that you've learned, and talk about your organization as well. I think many of the listeners would find that to be very enlightening. Do you have a particular place you would like to start?
Well, with topics like the paranormal, you can start about anywhere. There is just, everybody seems to have pigeonholes they put places, and paranormal is one that a lot of preconceived notions come with it, a lot of baggage belief systems, and a lot of it negative. Paranormal, to me, is just the unknown, the unfamiliar, the unknown. And born as a skeptic, raised as a skeptic, I guess I really wasn't born as a skeptic. We're born knowing much, but it's taught out of us over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense of curiosity really had just gotten the best of me, and I've always wanted to get to the bottom of things, know the real truth. After my experiences in Vietnam, I no longer wanted to accept what I was told. I needed to know the real truth. And about 20 years ago, I started doing these explorations, a lot of introspective work. But a lot of it got to be things such as going to find out a little bit about the source of a UFO story I had heard. And I did it tongue-in-cheek, got a group of people together, and we made a camping trek to Utah from Colorado here. And we were extremely surprised about the credibility of the witnesses, the experiences they've had, and how common it was accepted out there, the UFO phenomena. There's, in talking about paranormal, I would like to mention that most people have preconceived notions about exactly what paranormal is. Some people just think of it as ghosts, some just UFOs. I'd like to touch on a few topics or several topics here just to give people a sense. It includes certainly UFOs, extraterrestrials, crop circles, Bigfoot vortexes, rods, dowsing, telekinesis, numerology, psychometry, Native American beliefs to a great extent, the Philadelphia experiment, ley lines, Hartman lines, spontaneous human combustion, time travel, black holes, wormholes, ESP, auras, telepathy, astral travel, And actually, I've got about two dozen more, but I won't get into all that here tonight, such as reincarnation. But the biggest topic, probably and the most timely, are UFOs. The amount of activity around the world, the reports, is just, I guess, going through the roof is kind of a funny metaphor, but they're truly being reported more frequently all over the world at this point, and by larger groups of people. And many public officials in many countries, high-ranking public officials, are coming forward and expressing their interest and their concern. And it's very refreshing, finally, that in our country, we're starting to see it show up on our more conventional radar, such as the History Channel, Discovery Channel, Travel Channel. There's about 10 cable networks that are covering things very aggressively right now. The Discovery Channel and the History Channel are both, I think, doing UFO hunters. I could be wrong. One of them might be Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
But they both are suing each other, I think, for the rights to the name, but they're both producing them right now under that name. And more current activity they're covering. I'm just so thrilled to see the mainstream finally getting into more serious information sharing on the open media now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, what would you say is the significance of all of these sightings at this time? From your studies, we know we have craft. We know the Germans had craft during World War II, despite what anyone else would say. It wasn't all crash dummies, weather balloons, and swamp gas that they saw over there in Germany. What do you think is happening?
Well, I like to consider myself pretty discriminating and discerning in the types of information I accept as fact. My personal experiences are things I rely on most. It appears from most all credible sources that I have been interacting with for a number of years now that it's related to 2012. And people immediately jump to the Mayan prophecies they've heard of, the Mayan calendar. However, that's only one small aspect of the 2012 phenomena. Indigenous cultures from all over the world reference 2012 in major events. Some of them refer to it as the unveiling. Some of them refer to it as the end of times or the shifting of times as we know it. But one way or the other, it seems, again, the credible interaction and sources on UFO and extraterrestrial activity, the clear information being shared is things are rapidly changing. Our awareness, familiarity with things we coexist with, the veil is going to be thinning almost month by month at this point. And I think that's part of the reason the UFO sightings, activities, and reporting has been stepped up. Even the Air Force has recently made it public that they are going to start investigating the UFO phenomena again officially. Obviously, they've been doing that for decades. The recent Stevensville, Texas sighting was covered fairly well by the media, which was really surprising because compared to so many other sightings, including the January 1st, 2008 San Diego sighting, tremendous video, wonderful witnesses, but not a thing in any mainstream media. Mm-hmm. But it's refreshing that they're at least covering things now. I think it's at the point where they have to acknowledge it because they can no longer lie about it, deceive people, and cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Air Force to take a position or try to tell people what's really going on or what to think about it, they have to first of all finally acknowledge that these things exist.
I recall, in reference to the case in Texas, I recall an Air Force, investigator or representative, spokesperson, whatever you want to call them, explaining away the sightings as million candle flares that they had shot up. And of course, these come down on parachutes. So these are like Superman parachutes, number one, that they didn't burn to a crisp. And they were pretty intelligent. They could change direction on a dime as well.
Well, I guess we're getting pretty sophisticated then.
So,
and kudos to the Air Force. They seem to be capable of doing about anything anymore, but more than anything, they're most capable of deceiving the mm-hmm. public and distorting facts and manipulating, which is probably the greatest concern more than anything. If you look at any indigenous culture, if you look seriously at any historic institutions that are of a spiritual nature, you're going to see the UFO activity riddled throughout their belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people I've experienced that really deeply concern me is our government. They cover things up. They lie, they deceive, and to the point where I think everybody's experienced so much of that on so many levels, it's, in so many ways, it's impossible to have faith and trust in our government anymore.
Well,
they're no longer accountable.
The deceit and the concealment is definitely intolerable at the moment,
yes.
And that's coming out, too. Now,
yes.
you mentioned, if I can pose a question, you mentioned at the beginning here that you had been in Vietnam and you came back and decided that you were going to find some answers. You didn't want to accept what you were told.
Right.
What was it specifically that you were told? If you could share that without divulging any national security agreements or...
Well, what I was told by the media primarily going in, that it was about our freedom and our independence. And
mm-hmm.
We had to protect that, and we had to go fight communism, and I was prepared to do it. I couldn't wait to get on the front lines, and if something was going on, I wanted to be right in the middle of it, and I wanted to know and be part of it,
mm-hmm.
and as I am right now again. And after I got over there, I found out I was told by the highest-ranking Navy officer, which was a Navy captain, that's a full bird, was when he was on shore over there in Vietnam, he called me into his office and told me he needed to talk with me about a memorandum I kept sending to the Pentagon. I had to send them, they had to be there within an hour or two every time I sent them. And these were only the most urgent transmissions that went directly to the Pentagon. And
mm-hmm.
my recommendation was to stop activity in the Haiphong Harbor, where 85% of all war supplies were being shipped in through. And these were 22 different nations, what we consider to be our allies. These nations were bringing in the war supplies, the munitions, the fuel, the airplane parts, the guns. And my recommendation was to mine the harbor and give all nations 2 weeks' notice that we were mining it, and we would stop and search every ship that would come into the harbor. They could continue with normal commerce, but not with war supplies. And I thought, what a wonderful way. It's so doable. It's practical. It doesn't take lives. It's nothing more than economics. And the Navy captain, he listened a while, and he said, well, you've been told not to send these any longer or put this in writing anymore in any reports. And I said, yes, sir. He said, why haven't you? And I said, because we can stop the war. It's so clear. He got up and he went over and shut the door and he said, I'm going to tell you a few things. He said, how old are you? And I said, 18, sir. And it was pretty young. And he said, well, you are correct. He said, any commanding officer over here in Vietnam has known for years we can stop this war anytime we want. But this is not a war to win. This is a war about economics. He said President Johnson and his cronies have been making tens of millions of dollars individually off of the war supplies, and it's painful for all of us. You discovered it pretty quickly here, but this is what we have to live with. He said, I'm going to give you two choices. You first of all, you can never put this in writing again, what these reports, and these can never go to the Pentagon one more time, because it's my tail on the line now, not yours. And I told him I would handle it. If you want to, he said, if you If you have a problem with that, I'll ship you anywhere for any duty you want in the world. You tell me, I'll have you there within the week. And you can spend the rest of your term in the service at that location. But if you want to stay here, you can never put out a report like that again. I didn't think long, but I told him, well, I'm going to stay here because I figure I can do some things that will minimize the number of American lives that are going to be taken. So that's what I did. But how painfully disappointing to find out as directly and as firsthand as you can the level of deceit and manipulation that honestly takes tens of thousands of lives purely for cash. And how disillusioning. And people have asked me, because I've spent time on over 90 boards, panels, committees, and commissions serving community and the people, humanity. And people have asked along the way, boy, you have some real problems with authority, don't you? And I told them, no, I haven't. My problem has only been with the abuse of authority. I respect authority. It's the abuse I find so offensive. And our country has gotten so out of hand with accountability, who they answer to and why. Instead of answering to taxpayers, citizens, Americans, they answer to PACs, unions, and lobbyists that fund their campaigns and the associations. Money talks, and it's what our country's built on, is cash talks.
Mm-hmm.
And and they can buy some expensive
really
sound.
Really requires a whole lot of discernment, does it?
No.
It's staring us dead in the face.
No. People just need to stop just getting nothing but mainstream chatter, repeating the same narrow-minded, singular focus babble. They need to start doing their own research and their own thinking for a change. Mm-hmm. And watch their actions. Quit listening to the words they tell you. They've spent a lot of money learning how to say things to look like X, but they really mean Y. They're professionals at it. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And watch their actions. Once they're inconsistent with their actions are inconsistent with their words, start noticing more their actions. And if it starts showing up more and more inconsistent, only watch their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to their words, but just make all decisions based on their actions. I wish we weren't allowed to have presidential campaigns. I wish it was just their voting records we could look at, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be
yes, it would speak volumes as to who these people really are, regardless of what they say, because they're really speaking their intention through what they do.
But we're a culture of perception, and we will take perception over reality almost every day of the week. We're programmed for it. That's what we live for.
Yes.
We chase trends, listen to sound bites, want easy solutions. And we've been spoon-fed that for a couple of two or three decades now, to the point where it's difficult for some people to even grasp the truth, even when they're confronted with it.
I'm noticing on my line tonight, I don't know if you're hearing this in my voice, but I'm noticing a tremendous amount of jitter on the line. It's called jitter, where it's an unstable signal. And it began from the point when you started telling me about your experience in Vietnam. Very interesting how this happens.
Yes.
And it's still going on. I mean, it is 10 times the amount that it usually is.
Huh.
So we'll work our way through it. Hopefully my voice isn't breaking up or log jamming. Now, going back to the paranormal now.
Yes.
I think we're free to explore that. What is your favorite, let's say, or what would you like to address in terms of paranormal phenomena?
Well, there are a number of topics. I'm going to be doing some research this year on when the weather changes on orbs. These are balls of light. And also on vortexes. We're going to be making a trip down near the Sand Dunes National Monument in south-central Colorado. there are a number of locations down there that Christopher O'Brien just emailed me a map or an aerial photo marking where a number of vortexes are down there in the area that have been known by Native Americans for probably 200 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
They use these as their sacred spots. Going to be going down, I believe, with Dr. Claude Swanson. He's a physicist. I've been working with him on a number of projects, and I'm very impressed. His credentials are just impeccable. He received his master's from MIT, then went on to Princeton for his doctorate, and then on to Cornell and back to Princeton for some postdoctoral work. He's worked with a lot of military projects. He's worked on joint U.S. and Russian projects, research projects. Quite accomplished. He's also written a book called The Synchronized Universe, which covers paranormal matters. And he covers probably one or two dozen major paranormal topics and addresses the research that's been done confirming the presence or reality that they truly exist. It's no longer a question of whether these things exist. It's now, what does it really mean? There's more than enough credible evidence, hard evidence, enough scientific evidence to prove these phenomena are real, but it's where we start interpreting things or misinterpreting them where people get confused, lost, or have difficulty.
Or where we accept the interpretations that are spoon-fed to us.
Right.
And whether that's orbs or energy phenomenon, you know, the weather. I've been doing a series of shows over the past few weeks where we bring up some of the covert black ops type programs, such as chemtrails. And they use these excuses, and these are not plausible whatsoever, that they have to create a canopy for radio reflectivity.
Right.
We have all this advanced technology, and all of a sudden, in the 2000s, now all of a sudden they have to have cloud cover for this stuff to work.
Yes.
You know, the logic is not there, and yet there are people that buy this readily. It's like, well, they're giving us the explanation. We can go back to watching American Idol and listening to the gossip stories and the soap operas.
Right. No, you mean the news stations. Oh, wait a minute. No, I was confused. How can I get those confused?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, when they don't hear these things on mainstream, they're so conditioned to expect to see it, to make it be believable, you know, to,
yeah.
or to know it, as if these people impart knowledge to us.
And you mean Diane Sawyer's personal opinions about anything in the world?
Wow, yes,
that's what I want to follow. Let me turn my brain off.
Yeah, exactly. I know you've been looking at lots of different things, and
yes,
you're describing some of them. I had a chance to listen to one of your EVP recordings. I thought that might be worth bringing up and talking about a little bit. And without having determined the source of what I heard, I think you were surprised that the first time I played it, I understood what was being said.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to doing more research in that area. Hint, hint. And
yes, I'll get on that tomorrow.
Yeah, but I can say that this is a very real phenomenon, and this is where for the listeners out there that have never heard about this, would you explain that? I can explain it, but I'd rather have you do it. You're the guest.
Okay, so. EVP is electronic voice phenomena, and to make it simple, if you were to have a conversation with something, perhaps in another dimension, a ghost, spirit, whatever you would want to call it, you could just ask a question. Pardon me. And you couldn't necessarily or wouldn't necessarily hear anything back, but if you had your tape recorder on, as you played it back, you can frequently hear a response, a human voice responding to your question, and how shocking that is. very more often than not, these come across as an odd sound, either a short blip or an extended growl. And through manipulation with electronic equipment, as you well know, you can either shorten or extend that data to the point where it's consistent with the human voice and you can hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced this on so many occasions. There's a device that Christopher Moon, who publishes Haunted Times magazine, he's a ghost investigator. I've had him speak at my group twice. And he has a device developed by Frank Sumption, an engineer, that Thomas Edison was working on when he passed away to communicate with the dead. It works on an AM radio band, and from my understanding of it, it scans and looks for sounds, and it uses those sounds to formulate words. And on two occasions, I've had the opportunity to use it where I've asked a question. As a matter of fact, it was an inn where two women back in the 1970s, young women were raped and killed. And the evidence that Christopher Moon had picked up from this communication, he turned it over to detectives two or three years ago here in Denver, and they reopened that cold case file because he gave them details that only could have been known by being there at the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he also identified, per the girls in their communication, the killer. And that was their number one suspect, but he's given them even further information at this point. I was able to listen to those women. And another entity that was there, I had asked, I said, do you have a physical body or form where you're at? And this male voice starts laughing, and he says, we're just energy. And that just set me back on my heels, because I honestly did not expect a response. Again, it's happening, but what it means, you've got to spend some time and a lot of research on that, a lot of investigation.
Mm-hmm. Now, the sample that you had sent me that I had listened to, and for the listening audience, basically what I did is I took this little MP3 file. It was a very short file, a conversation between two people, and the female voice asked the male, are you aware, through this channeling, I'm trying to paraphrase it, kind of close to it, as possible. I think it was a week or two since I listened to it, but are you aware through this channeling what you're manifesting? And this voice came out of, I'm sure, the thin air. They were both startled, and there was a space in the conversation, and it said, it will hurt you. And it wasn't so evil. What, if anything, about it, it was the fact that, to me, it was though this voice just appeared in the form of, let's say, I want to say ectoplasm. That's the word that comes to mind. And in other words, it manifested itself in a physical reality without the physical makeup of a human body. No vocal cords, no lungs, no diaphragm, no mouth, and yet it was audible, and it was understandable. The two participants who heard it, it's a question of how that appears there, but hearing the recording, I heard it the first time, and I played it over and over again. I created what's called a loop, where it just repeats, and there was no doubt in my mind that that's what was being said, and I think you could hear that when I played it for you.
Yes.
They were shocked, and it was like, what was that? I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea. But these things manifest themselves like that, and if you're recording, the equipment may or may not pick that up. Isn't that right?
That's correct. There's so many variables, and we don't know enough about it to really tie them down or have the best opportunity or benefit of getting a response. But once you become a little practiced at it, it becomes, it just happens more frequently for whatever reasons, it seems. I have been at this gentleman's house. His name is Stan Romanek. He has, since the year 2000, he's had amazing experiences that seem to involve about anything paranormal you could imagine. And we've had, I think, three or four ghost investigation groups at his home here in Colorado within the last year. Every one of them just receiving shocking experiences while they're there. I've been there for three of them, and you can watch things being thrown across the room up to 25 feet, small things like an Altoid tin, a wine cork. You can hear them out loud answering your questions. They moved a large, heavy dining table for us up to a foot at a time in response to questions when no one was touching it. Flashes of light throughout the house. What appears to be smoke moving across the lens of a camera when there's absolutely nothing going on. Again, just fascinating. About 2 weeks ago, three of the people there in the home watched a full-body apparition, which is... pardon me. I apologize.
That's okay.
An image of a male. They could tell the color of his hair. It was black, short hair. Walked through their home quite fast. And Stan had mentioned it. Oh my gosh, I just saw this. And his wife and their house guest said, oh yeah, we watched it earlier too. We saw it. Things are so common there, they don't even necessarily mention these things to each other anymore. In front of people recently, they whatever is going on there has been turning on the water faucet in front of people, turning the knob 180 degrees, then turning it back off 180 degrees. In the kitchen and both bathrooms. Again,
now I've had over the years various manifestations like that take place, and during times of some, usually it was stress of someone else. On a past show, I told one of my guests that I had talked a friend out of committing suicide. And he was pretty devastated about a relationship with his fiance that broke up, and he was seriously considering killing himself. And I talked to him about God, and something happens when you're in that situation. You just reach down, deep down inside of yourself, searching for answers, and. I read some passages out of the Bible, and I talked about the fact that he was going to have to make this decision right, in a way, that he'd been given the gift of life, and if he misused it or didn't honor it, that there would be consequences. And as I spoke those words, some of the manifestations you just described appeared in the room. And I went on a roller coaster ride for a good 48 hours, a metaphysical roller coaster ride. And I noticed a change in the metaphysical gifts that I already had. They had become enhanced, heightened, if you want to use that word. And no one I knew who could see or understand these things could explain what had happened. I eventually came to an understanding that it was literally a shift in consciousness, that I had been aided in that shift in consciousness, almost as a direct or immediate response to my willingness to help this person work through this problem.
Yes.
And it actually, it was so startling, the person stayed another half an hour or so, but had to leave. I mean, and he never thought about committing suicide again. So it's amazing what had happened. But then it resulted in my having visions of things that did come to pass several years later in my life.
Yeah.
And so I learned to recognize the importance of those things when they do occur, not to freak out, to understand them. And they really don't have to happen. That's one thing I came to understand, is that a person's consciousness can be elevated either with outside assistance or from within oneself, and it doesn't have to be a traumatic event.
No, not at all.
But that one was. It was very traumatic.
Sometimes it's as simple as the process of requesting
mm-hmm.
and quieting yourself and being accepting. And it's amazing the experiences that can take place. I've spent literally thousands of hours investigating, researching, and on personal experiences. I am so far beyond anything I could have ever believed about 20, 30 years ago. Because it just continues and continues. And the more you practice it, the more experiences you have. We're connected with everything, it appears, and we do have other dimensions we coexist with. We've called mm-hmm. it many things over the course of man's history, but they've always been there. Whether it's extraterrestrials, whether it's human spirits that have passed on, whether it's angelic or spiritual beings, and godlike beings, I'm realizing begrudgingly, they all exist. And you can interact with them. I've learned that nothing's ever to be feared, just understood and respected for whatever it is. And since we coexist with it, it's not bothering us, most people. So why not take the opportunity to say, "Hi, neighbor." Not quite that silly, but...
Now, there are those that would... try to prevent us from reaching that now.
Well, we have access to so much as human beings. We have so much ability and power that we are taught we don't have, and that's not true. We live in a culture of external dependence for everything. We've even quit using common sense, I think, in our culture, because now we consult experts. Oh, you need counseling. Well, we used to call it common sense back when I grew up in the 50s and 60s. But now common sense is sold, and those experts disagree on what makes sense.
Well, the experts lie, don't they? Many of them?
Well, you can have about any kind of lie you want. All you have to do is pay for whatever result you want, and you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, but we have to get back to using our internal guidance systems, our intuition, or as fellows say, my gut tells me, or I got a hunch, or women use other spiritual terminology. But it's all one and the same thing. It is our higher self communicating. We try to put everything through that intellectual filter, and only so much goes through that, and it goes about 2 miles an hour through that intellectual filter, but the universe is happening at about 100,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. I had a conversation this afternoon, Rick, with a friend, well, a new friend, let's say, quite a lengthy conversation about some issues of a very important nature, and was talking about intuition. And this person, being very intelligent and very honest, told me that his skepticism... made him a bit standoffish about some of the things that I was sharing with him,
yeah.
And yet it was in what I was saying were some answers to what he was looking for, and it came to him at a time when he didn't expect it, but was probably praying would come along. And at the conclusion of the conversation, he acknowledged that it was extremely interesting, the information I had presented to him, and that he was anticipating a follow-up conversation.
Yes.
Now, I'm not in a position to disclose exactly what that was, but it's amazing that if a person can be convinced by the nature of this new information, and it can be put into a context with which they are already familiar,
right,
they can ascend, so to speak, and come to a realization that this is possible, that it's not what it's portrayed to be by the media, by the experts, by the scientific community that I spoke about at the beginning of the show, that really wants us to think that they have all the answers and they're the only ones with the answers. And we know that that's not true.
We've turned far too much of our power, our decision-making, our resources over to others. And we probably should be reclaiming about 90% of what we've given away. People have asked me, well, if the legislators, as I was talking about tax increases, their question was, well, if we don't do it, who will? And I told them, well, I grew up in a community where if somebody had a problem, their family helped them. And if that wasn't enough, their extended family helped them. And if that wasn't enough, the neighbors helped. And if that wasn't enough, the church helped. There were a dozen different groups, individuals, and organizations that were more than happy. And quite frankly, if you spent a dollar helping someone, they received a dollar's worth of results. If you spend a dollar with the federal government, you're lucky to get back a nickel or a dime's worth of results. And it may not have been the results you even wanted in the first place. But the fact is, we have become dependent, falsely dependent, on external sources for everything. And how sad we've been so removed from reality, with real consequences, mm-hmm. dealing with real situations, and doing it personally. When you interact with a human, it's so much more meaningful than having somebody threaten you that you're going to go to jail unless you give me your money, called the government. It's much healthier to do it, to work with people. The humanity's been sucked out of our system. It doesn't have a conscience anymore. It just has rules, regulations, and codes, and ordinances, and statutes, and people claim, well, I don't have any choice. This is what I have to do. Well, they do have a choice. They just don't exercise it anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of apathy, too. You know, you talk to people. We talk about this all the time, you know, even in the Patriot movement, it's very common when you start telling someone something that differs from what the media says, and it hits this nerve, and you see the eyes glaze over. You've heard that before, I'm sure,
right,
a million times. There's actually a physiological reaction that you can see in a person's eyes when their mind is just shut off, and they've already decided that this is so beyond their comprehension, and it might be something very basic.
Yes.
But it's really shattering their belief system.
It's automatic pilot.
Thinking to them, you know, it's beyond their wildest imagination.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, from the things that you're learning, from the studies that you're doing, what are some of the gems of wisdom that come through?
The biggest singular one is that everything is spiritual. The scientists are discovering this. The begrudging conservative scientist I've been working with, one with the University of Colorado just recently, he said, I've been doing research on this for many years, and I wanted to prove it wrong scientifically. And he said, not only have I not been able to prove it wrong, I can prove it really truly does take place, these paranormal phenomena. But he said, the one element I cannot get rid of is spirituality. It keeps showing up in every single subject of research I'm involved with. And believe me, it was nothing I was looking for, but that's what I've found out of it. It is all, spirituality seems to be the highest form of science we will ultimately discover. We now are getting closer to that by calling it things like quantum physics. But they'll get a step or two beyond that, and it's what we refer to as spirituality. It's your connectedness with everything. We all have it.
Mm-hmm.
but it's conditioned out of us.
Yeah, it's almost as if they have tried to create the matrix that to consider spirituality is unrealistic, or it's something to be
silly.
Shunned.
Right. And, well, quite frankly, anybody who's has any faith or belief in any godlike experience at all, or the presence of any of it, now that can be proven by science, but that's what we're talking about. There are grander and greater things than we can comprehend with our science. And indigenous cultures all over the world have always known that. They just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture, unless you can grab it, manipulate it, squeeze some bucks out of it, and abuse it, it doesn't have value. But
I'd like to think that scientists actually, or there are many, maybe many, many more than what we know, or at least are reporting it, that understand that truth that you just so eloquently explained, without fear of being reprimanded or losing their job or being demoted or whatever circumstances, maybe even losing their life.
Well, I think as long as they can give it their own labels and convince others they've discovered it, they'll be able to explain it better.
Yeah.
And it will be more acceptable.
Okay, so what the main message you're getting is everything is spirit. Now, that's a leap for a lot of people because they're in this physical, what they think is a physical reality.
Yeah.
It's an ego-based reality.
We're here too.
That we are what we see in the mirror when we get up in the morning, and we are what we see in the mirror when we go to bed.
Well, it's like being an iceberg. If you only see what's above the surface, the obvious, okay, that's real too. But what's underneath is far grander and greater and bigger and has more substance to it. But why should we live in such a shallow perception of, if I can't touch it, it's not there, which is just silly.
Yeah, or if I can't see it or I can't hear it, and yet there are more and more people, it seems, coming forward describing these situations. But as this consciousness comes to the awareness of the masses, there are so many that are still very willing to confront it and try to stop it from progressing. And of course, governments are number one at that.
We're having more people with interest and fascination with these subjects. I've had the forum for about 4 years, presenting the most credible speakers I could find with the greatest backgrounds in education to show quantifiable data and evidence to prove the presence and existence of these various paranormal phenomena. And we continue to grow. At present, we're the largest monthly forum on any paranormal matters in the country. And we just had an event last month in downtown Denver at the Auraria campus, where we had 300 people. Well, we only had 300 seats filled, all of them. And people sat there on a 70-degree Saturday, beautiful sunny afternoon, which we don't get that often this time of year necessarily. And they sat there for 4 hours and gave a standing ovation at the end.
Wow.
And I've received emails and phone calls from medical doctors, scientists, physicists, engineers, wanting to know how they can help. Because things they've seen and discovered begrudgingly on their own, they realize it's real, and this is more important than anything we've been taught.
Well, speaking of Denver, when you were in Denver, did anyone get the feeling that someone was walking underneath their seats?
we had a 10-minute break in the middle after 2 hours. We had a 10-minute break, and there were about 70-some people outside watching things in the sky, and I don't have any definitive explanation for them. I'm going to be receiving videos here shortly from a couple of them, and a number of people that witnessed them and quite frankly, one of them was a very critical author, very critical of UFO, the UFO phenomena. But he's convinced he saw one, or some, during the break. And he said, I would have been one of the last people in the world that I ever would have expected I'd even admit that I've seen something like this.
Did you get the feeling that that was a message for the group, as if, you know, these visitors, we'll call them?
I had been told that, yes.
Oh, okay.
And that's what supposedly what crop circles are also. They're messages, and that's what the UFOs that are showing up around the world now are. It's an indoctrination into a new awareness. And that's why, I guess in part, why we're not receiving it all at one time. Is because you need to be conditioned slowly for this much of a paradigm shift for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask people, what would it take? Would UFOs over the White House do it? Well, sure. Well, they've been over the White House. 1952, Eisenhower administration. It was all over the front pages of the Washington Post and other papers. And they sent up all the fighter jets, and they kept disappearing when the fighter jets got close, and then reappearing. And the evidence is all over if you just look for it. But you've got to have a reason to concern yourself with something more than the obvious. And then most people are very comfortable with their bigger screen TV, their new SUV, and their new kind of latte they're getting at Starbucks. And that fills their whole life. They have nothing else except perhaps playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not evolved one iota as a human being or a soul. They're just busy.
Yes. Now, we're almost out of time here. I did want to mention this topic, and you may have gotten some information on this. And I'm speaking of this prediction that's coming from a variety of sources that we're going to experience a polar shift. And to me, that's if you've been through an earthquake, you know, in California they get an average of 3,000 earthquakes annually. And when you've been through an earthquake, you know you've been through an earthquake there. They have what's called a slip fault type quake, where the plates shift all of a sudden. One drops and there's this shudder. It's not the rolling quakes that are experienced in the Midwest and the East. They're very traumatic. They can cause a lot of damage. Now, a polar shift is something that at least man, as he exists right now on this planet, has not experienced collectively. And so there's a lot of fear about that. And that's being taken advantage of, I think, to an extent. What has come through as far as that, and if anything has come through, and what do you see the consequences of a polar shift leaving?
That's only one of the things that I've heard about. It falls in a more general category that at the time of 2012, by the time of 2012, December 21st, it's almost like we're on a default program. If we do not raise our awareness, consciousness, and start evolving quickly, the top comes off of the Earth Petri dish at 2012, December 21st, I'm going to say, or thereabouts, and we're going to find out whether we have evolved enough to continue. But if not, we have been overpolluting, overpopulating this planet, and it's a living organism, and it will rebel against us one way or the other. And they've told us the possibility of earthquakes, tidal waves, volcanoes, volcanic activity, they did mention the polar shift. It's a natural thing for self-correcting. It's a living organism, and we are the parasites on this host, the Earth. And the natural laws will take their course. But we have an ability to affect things. We can't control them, but we can affect and influence things.
So, in effect, you're saying that we must become more like red corpuscles and less like leukocytes.
Yes. And we have become a cancer on this earth in many ways. and we need to be more respectful. And Native Americans know that it's the Mother Earth, and we are its guest, and we should treat things that way. I remember David Swallow, a Lakota spiritual elder, told me, he said, the earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. He said mother, which he meant earth. But he's right. In our culture, you chop it up and sell it off for a nickel. You can sell it off for a quarter, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Chop it up in smaller parcels.
Yes.
I'm pretty concerned that we've become so detached from nature and natural laws that we've forgotten about them. We live in a manufactured environment rather than a natural environment. I understand within the next year or so we're supposed to have more people living in cities than in the rural areas for the first time, and that bothers me deeply.
Yeah, it's as though that's being done intentionally. In other words, it's being orchestrated through extraneous circumstances.
Yes, it seems to be.
In parting, Rick, what would you, what words of wisdom would you give those who are listening out there that are wondering, well, okay, everything is spirit. How can I partake in that? How can I participate? What can I contribute to that? How can I experience that? What would you say to that listener that has that question in their mind?
Well, turn off the television a bit. Quit reacting to the headlines, and perhaps determine your best news sources that you trust the most, and that isn't going to be a paper that's going to be delivered to you. And if you can, find a lot of it on the internet, but get a good source.
Well, I recommend to people that they listen to bbsradio.com.
Brilliant.
And there's lots of good programming and of the nature that you're speaking about. And if they do that, they can't pay attention to what's on the boob tube, and it makes sense to shut it off. You're not wasting the electricity.
Right.
And as far as the newspaper, I would recommend the Idaho Observer. I'm a bit prejudiced there, or biased, because I've written for that paper. In fact, I had the editor, the two editors and publishers on my show last night, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle. And they're very spiritual people looking at the big picture. And they're determined that the truth is going to get to the people one way or another.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, also I'm going to start writing for the American Free Press, and I would recommend that paper to folks as well.
It's very well thought of, that paper. Been around for quite a while.
Yes.
And be discerning, though. That's most important. Be discerning and listen when you're talking with public officials or what they're being asked. When they answer a question that was not asked, there's no reason to trust that. I mean, it's just listen hard and really just use your intuition.
Or when they don't answer the question that was asked.
Don't accept sound bites for solutions.
Yes.
Now, use what you've experienced. You know more than you consciously are aware of. And your intuition's talking with you all the time.
Yes.
And quit being led around by the media. Do your own thinking for a change. Use your own common sense. It'll serve you quite well.
Very wise words. Rick, as usual, I'm going to invite you back again. When I get those EVPs, I will anxiously want to invite you back. And maybe we can play some of those for the audience.
It might be possible, yes.
Okay, if you can arrange for that. We'll plan on having you back soon. And I wish you the best of luck, continued success in what you're doing. Keep me posted so I can keep the listening audience posted. And I want to send people to your website, which is paranormalresearchforum.com.
Yes, and that's going to be changing within 1 to 2 weeks here. It's primarily been geared up for Colorado activity. However, in about 1 or 2 weeks, it's going to be more international-level information.
Okay. Now, is the name going to change?
No, it'll remain the same.
It'll remain the same. Okay, good. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. I do have a link posted on my site to your site.
Thank you.
Anything that you want me to publish, just let me know if you send me anything.
I appreciate it, Don. I want to wish you a good morning and your listening audience as well. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. And please be sure to listen to Michael St. Clair tomorrow. We have a special two-hour show that we're doing. It's right up your alley, Rick. You will enjoy it very much.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
And we want to wish Michael St. Clair a happy birthday. Today is his birthday, and he will be 1 year older when he comes on the show tomorrow night. So in the meantime, I want to thank all the listening audience for tuning in to BBSRadio.com and Evident Footprints. Our special guest this evening was Rick Nelson from Paranormal Research Forum, and you can visit his website by that name. Just add the .com, or you can see it on my links page at directlightproductions.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be back tomorrow night with a special two-hour show with Michael St. Clair. Please tell your friends about it. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. And I want to thank Seth and Donald for getting everything together for us tonight. And good night.